Well, greetings all across Greater Austin to Austin Christian Fellowship. How is everybody? Can I hear from you? Let me hear from all my people. Nice to see you. Welcome. If I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis, Jr. Welcome to ACF. We're thrilled to have you be part of our church. If you're a guest, thank you. It's that time of year when folks are visiting churches and looking for a church home. I want to tell you, we'd love to be your church. I may say that 15 times in this message because of what I'm talking about. We'd love to be your church home. It's a great church. The greatest asset of our church is probably sitting next to you. It's our people. We have amazing people in this church. So thank you for coming. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? We have volunteers at every location coming with Bibles right now. Don't be shy. We'll be glad to give you one. You can keep it, or you can leave it on the pew when you're done. The pew. Did I really just say that? Wow. Okay, a pew is a wooden chair. It's very uncomfortable that you sit in church. Wow, I said pew. We can leave it on the seat when you're done. Never mind. Just keep it. Okay. And a couple of verses if you want to open up. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And maybe one more for extra credit in a minute. So we begin this weekend a new series that I'm really pumped about. Firstly, because it's not entirely controversial and going to produce me sweat all my life for the next 2 hours. It's a series, four things we're passionate about at Austin Christian Fellowship. This is a month, August, when people are kind of re-upping, visiting churches. They've moved to Austin. They're looking for church homes. Some of you that are in our congregations right now are regular ACF, or some of you are new, and you're wondering, what's ACF about? Every church has the same mission. To make disciples of the world in Jesus' name. A lot of us have unique DNA under that, and we're no exception. And so for this month, we're going to talk to you about what we kind of major on. It won't be everything. We have a lot of things that are very important to us. But it's a great time to visit kind of who we are and what we get really excited about and what we're trying to do and what we're asking you to do, because every church has an ask in it of the congregation. And if you're going to be an ACFer and your family's going to attend here, you'll be going to give time here and your resources here, you need to know what we're asking of you and what we expect of you. So this month, we get to do that, and I'm really fired up about it because Susie and I have had the pleasure of being here 26 years. This is an amazing church, and there's a lot of really great stuff going on here, and we have amazing communities around the city, and it's just a big, yay, big hairy yay God. So our mission statement... I'm going to start with our mission statement this weekend, and then go to scripture here in just a minute, is to enable seekers of purpose, meaning, and truth to know, to love, and to serve Jesus Christ. I'll say it one more time. To enable seekers of purpose, meaning, and truth to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. That has been kind of what drives us, what we're trying to do. For 20 years, maybe longer. That statement has summed up the enabling of people who are looking for answers to life's most pressing questions. We believe those answers are in Jesus Christ, without apology. I want to talk to you this weekend about some of the ingredients of that statement right there and what it means. But first, I want to pray. So let me pray with us. God, thank you for this time. I pray you'd activate my gifts and skills and humble me and fill me with your spirit and be present in every community right now, every location right now. Make your power and your name known, and thank you for this time. Thank you for what we get to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're passionate at Austin Christian Fellowship about knowing, loving, and serving Jesus. This topic is first for that reason. If I had to boil down into two words that which we're passionate about at ACF, it'd be Jesus Christ. Because everything else flows out of him. We're not a political church. We're not a social church. We're not we do things that may have political implications or social implications or justice implications. We are a Jesus church. More than anything else. If we don't have him, If we don't center on him, we got nothing. So let me put Jesus Christ on the screen here. That sounds kind of like, here's Jesus. Let me put the name Jesus Christ on the screen and have you look at it with me for just a second. I love this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, where Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says, "Let all the house of Israel know for certain." And Peter has this certainty because he's walked through the crucifixion and now the resurrection and then the ascension and now the outpouring of the Spirit. And Peter has no doubts about the identity of Jesus. He's seen his world change. And this Jesus who he was uncertain of and denied on the day of his execution has now become the resurrected, exalted Savior. And so he says in this message, "Let all the house of Israel know for sure that God has made him both Lord and Christ." This Jesus whom you crucified. You don't want that on your resume, by the way. We're passionate about Jesus Christ. The name Jesus is the Old Testament name Yeshua or Joshua. And it means God is salvation. The names of Jesus in the Bible, Iesus in the Greek, I love that, and Yeshua in the Hebrew. It's the most beautiful name in the world. It simply means God is salvation. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Christ is not Jesus' last name. This God has made him both Lord, ruler, and Christ. Christ means the promised or anointed one, the one that the centuries of Old Testament promises, Genesis through Malachi, that said a day is coming when God is going to bring justice back to the earth, that the kingdom of David is going to rule forever and ever and ever. Well, all that came to fruition when the anointed or promised, selected, specific one came. His name was Jesus. His title, his role was Christ. Austin Christian Fellowship, we're betting the farm on Jesus Christ. Okay? We don't have any other theology or hope or strategy or plan other than Jesus. We think the answer to every solution, every problem in the world is in Jesus Christ. We think the hope of every man, woman, and child around the globe, educated and rich to uneducated and in poverty, is in Jesus Christ. We think the problems for the social ills in our culture and the political struggles we're having right now and the racism in our culture and everything else that's going on, we think the hope of the world and the problem for cancer and Alzheimer's and everything else is in Jesus Christ. We think what Austin, Texas most needs is Jesus Christ. And that's he is our wager. He's all we've got. He's all we want. And so when it was really important to me when we were carving out our mission statement years ago that we have the statement end with that boom, boom, no love and serve Jesus Christ. It's no one less than that, and we say that without apology. So where churches today may or may not be, forgive the term, Christocentric, Christ-centered, you need to know at ACF, we are as passionate and focused on him and who he is as we have ever been. And we have nothing but him to offer. Somebody, please say amen. Okay, that's just good stuff. Okay? We love and worship Jesus. All right, so, do you know him? Before I move on, I want to ask you, what is the status of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he a distant figure? Is he some mythological piece of history you're uncertain of? Are you uncertain if he was even real? Do you think he was a really great leader who was one of many kind of religious figures throughout history who had some really cool things to say? Do you think he was completely crazy? Do you believe that he was the Christ? Our mission is to enable people like you who may be seeking purpose, meaning, and truth. And by the way, next week's topic, what we're passionate about, is seekers of purpose, meaning, and truth. We're passionate about people who are seeking answers. We love that. That's why we did the series we did all summer on hard questions. Because we love people who are asking questions. We think the answer to their questions. We think the answer to your questions. Even if you're a Christ follower and you've been a Christian for years, or you're not sure what you believe, for both of you, your answer is still Jesus Christ, period. Okay? If you don't know him, when this service ends, go down and talk to one of the prayer leaders who'll be in your service, or go find a community pastor at your respective location, or follow up this week with an email to whoever's leading the church that you're attending right now at ACF and say, I need to know how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because it all starts there. He's called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the source of abundant life, the way, the truth, and the life, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for a reason. He is. And whatever you're missing, whatever you're battling, whatever your struggle, whatever your stronghold, whatever your addiction, he said in his own self-description, I came to set captives free. That's what he does. So reach out. If you will reach out to him, you will find this response of life that you will, it is beyond measure, but you have to reach, you have to ask. At ACF, we're passionate about Jesus the Christ. Will you say that with me? Jesus the Christ. One more time. Jesus the Christ. It's a title. He's Jesus, the Anointed One. So good. He's so good. At Austin Christian Fellowship, we are passionate about knowing Jesus the Christ. Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. This is a verse I pray over you and my family and my life and my friends and our leaders. If in any Bible I've got, you'll find ACF written next to Ephesians 1, 17 in my Bible. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God, I love this verse, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus, there it is, our Lord Jesus the Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. One translation simply says that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you can know him better. You can know him. We put knowing first, because knowing Christ never ends. You never level off. You never plateau. And it is the fruit and the seed of everything that follows. So Paul is speaking to a bunch of Christians in the town of Ephesus, the Greek city of Ephesus, and they're about 10 years into their run as a church. They're really, really doing well. And his prayer for them simply is, I want you to know more. I want you just to know more. You'll always do better if you're asking for more of who Jesus is. So church, you need to understand, you never get to the end of God. You never read the story of God and get to the last page and close it and go, now I have full knowledge of God. There's no such thing. He is like our universe, but greater. You know, our universe is expanding, moving at, you know, infinite speed outward, so we can't ever begin to project how big it is or if it's ever going to stop and what the end of it's going to be. That's kind of like God, but not as much as God. So you're never going to have full knowledge or understanding of God. He's infinite, he's holy, he's otherworldly. Everything you need to know about him was revealed in Jesus Christ. And so he's knowable through Christ, but you're never going to get to the bottom of it. So it is a great thing to begin with knowing. You come to know God initially through nature, the created world. Romans teaches this a lot. The Bible teaches a lot about how breezes and sunrises and sunsets and trees and birds and mountains and oceans and fish and everything are part of their programming, is to reveal the knowledge of God. The earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, the scripture says. We are aware of his glory through what he's created. You come to know him through experience, and as things happen and line up in your life, you begin to know him. You come to know him through teaching. and specific instruction about who he is, but you never get done knowing him. And so the first thing we want people to do is to know Jesus. We want them to know him personally. Not like, I know about Abraham Lincoln, but I don't have a relationship with him. Some of you know about Jesus, but you don't have a relationship with him. I believe Abraham Lincoln existed. I don't have a relationship with him. I believe Donald Trump exists. I never met the man. I don't have a relationship with him. It's different than just knowing Jesus existed. It's knowing him. And that knowledge begins when you respond to the stimuli of his nature and teaching and his word and his spirit in your life. You respond to that stimuli and say yes to him and say, I want to know you and I want to know more of you. Our effort as Christians here at Austin Christian Fellowship is to help every person sitting in one of our, I said it earlier, pews, one of our chairs, to be on this upward trajectory where you know more of Jesus today than you knew of him yesterday. And you know more of Jesus yesterday than you knew of him a year ago. That you're constantly increasing. You're trending upward in your understanding and your knowledge of who Jesus is. You never get to the end. There's never capping out. But you don't plateau, you don't settle, and you certainly don't trend down. You're always learning of him. Now, there's more than two, but I want to give you two primary ways to know God better. By the way, I'm part of a group that prays here at Four Points, and any of you that are listening to me right now are welcome. We pray 5 days a week here at Four Points in room 121. It's called 121, 12-1 prayer, and I'm part of a group. I'm there about 4 days a week. Like, I don't usually come on Fridays, but I come most of the time. A lot of time we catch ourselves and they're saying, God, we just want more. You know, sometimes you go back for seconds and you get full. With God, you go back for seconds and you get hungrier. What he gives you entices you for more. What you want more as you experience him in prayer or in worship or the power of his Holy Spirit or in answered prayer or in the community of his people, which is so sweet and so tender. As you get that in you, you don't get satisfied. You want more of it. There's always that, thank you, but sir, may I please have more with God. And so it's just a great prayer. If you want to pray something in your life right now, just, Lord, I'd love more of you. It's a dangerous prayer because he's going to give you more of him. And whenever you get more of God, that requires adjusting to that. Whenever God shows you more of himself, he expects you to adjust to what he's just shown you and live accordingly. You don't get to go, that was cool, thanks for showing me. No, you have to, when God reveals himself to you, there's an instant call to obedience to what he just showed you. So pray more. Okay, two ways to learn about him. Number one, his word. You're learning about him right now as I teach because the Holy Spirit is taking what I'm saying, his word, and translating it to whatever you need. Right? Some of you are hearing, hey, go work on your marriage. I'm not talking about marriage, but some of you are hearing that right now. Because the Holy Spirit takes his word and drives it deep in your heart. If you will get in a church like ACF that teaches the Bible, and there are many of us in town, or if you'll read the Bible every single day or listen to podcasts on Bible and learn to study the Bible, the Holy Spirit will talk to you and introduce you to who this character that God is, and you'll always learn, and you can read the same chapter this week and next week, read it and learn something entirely different about God, because this is a living and active document. The Holy Spirit speaks through this. So read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, read John, read Mark, read Isaiah, and let God give you pictures of who he is so you can know him better. The second way, and this is surprising, that you can learn to know him is through obedience. Because obedience requires faith. And so when God says, hey, Will, I want you to do this, and I'm going, that looks terrifying. I want you to pray out loud in that prayer meeting, or I want you to start tithing, or I want you to walk across the street and meet your neighbor so you can talk to them about me. No, that's terrifying. And so you do that. You step out in faith and do that. And what happens is instead of falling flat on your face, God comes through for you. You go, oh, it worked. And you learn about God. Some of you have plateaued in your knowledge of God because you're not doing the last thing he told you to do. And you're not going to get more of him. You're not going to get the Revelation 301 until you obey Revelation 201. Just saying. If you feel like your relationship with God is doing this, what's the last thing he told you to do? God is very much like rafting in the Grand Canyon. Or God is very much like hiking on a mountain trail. You go through these bends and the view is amazing and you think you've seen all you can take in, and then you hike another half a mile or you float another quarter of a mile and the river turns or the trail turns and this massive new panorama opens up in front of you and you go, oh Lord, I had no idea. And he says, come on. Let's go a little further. I hope in this message right now, some of you are having that open panorama moment where God is saying, there's more. Come on. You don't know nearly enough about me. At Austin Christian Fellowship, we are quite passionate about knowing Jesus the Christ. At Austin Christian Fellowship, we are also quite passionate about loving Jesus. In John chapter 14, this verse is written, Jesus answered him and said, if anyone loves me, this is on the screen for you, I think, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our home with him. It's so interesting, especially in the final, John 14 is from the last night of Jesus' life. It's so interesting how frequently the topic love comes up as Jesus was staring death in the face. He's just a few hours away from being executed, and he talked over and over and over about the importance of love in Christianity. And initially, love to him and his Father. It would come out to love of each other, but it started with loving him and his Father. Because they love each other, we're to love them, they'll abide in us, and as they abide in us, we'll love each other. Love, listen, is the fruit of knowing him. Now listen, I need you to think. Know, love, serve. Knowledge yields love. True knowledge yields love. True knowledge does not yield pride and arrogance and, hey, look at me. When you know, when you have that panorama moment and you're this revelation of God you did not know you had comes in, the healthiest, most normal response is, oh God, I love you. I had no idea. So loving Jesus is the fruit of knowing Jesus. If you know him, you will love him. If you don't know him, you won't love him. You'll be offended by him or threatened by him or scared of him. But if you get to know him, you will fall in love with him. The more you discover about God and knowledge, the more you'll love him. There's a direct proportional relationship between knowing God and loving God and loving Jesus. Love shows up in multiple ways in a Christ follower's life, in multiple ways here at Austin Christian Fellowship. We love him, and this is what we'll be doing in heaven, so it makes sense, but we love him on earth here when we worship him. Worship can be what every one of you did in your congregations respectively before this video turned on or before you listened to me teach. When you stood and you sang songs about God or songs to God. That's a form of worship. It's not the only form of worship. But worship is the directing of your attention to him and declaring to him about him what's true and great about him. Worship is you are mighty, you are big, you are strong, you are holy. And we're not, and it's upward because we're not peers. It's not like, you know, we're equals and I think you're having a really great day. It's, oh, you're God. You're God. It is a humbling of yourself and an acknowledging of the supremacy of God over everything. That is worship. Worship can be at an intersection in your community with a sunrise coming up. You're going to work early one morning and you see a sunrise come up and you just go, wow, God, you rock. That's worship. That is an expression of loving God. He is desirous of our worship, and it honors him when we worship. But Jesus said the Father seeks those who worship him in spirit and truth. Worship includes giving, church. I can't not say this. Worship includes the the best of my financial resources going to him. That's a loving thing. That's not a difficult or a frustrated I have to do this. When I get to give, it is an expression of my love to him. My first fruits, my best. That's part of worship is giving and honoring him with what he's given me. That's love. We love him when we love his people. People love to say, you know, I really do love Jesus and God, but I don't really like the church. Well, hello, that's his body. It's the equivalent of saying to somebody, face is awesome, the rest of you I can do without. So when you say, and I'm preaching to people who are here, so this isn't very effective, I need to talk to people who aren't here, you know, I don't really like the church. Well, you're rejecting what Jesus has invested himself in the world. Oh, by the way, he calls it his bride. So it's kind of like saying, I don't like your wife, dude. That's not very smart. Your bride is ugly. You don't want to say that to somebody. But that's what people do. Oh, God's fine. I just don't like the church. I don't like organized religion. Well, Jesus is in the church. So you reject his people, you're rejecting him. You can't separate the two. He's chosen to make himself known. So the way you love Jesus is you love his people. At Austin Christian Fellowship, we do this best in small groups. Every one of our communities, we urge people, we have done this really well for 26 years, to take church from the 1 to, in this room, 200 or 1 to 800 or 1 to 20 ratio and make it 1 to 7 in a small group, where you can know each other and pray for each other and when the crisis comes, call each other and be at each other's doorstep. And I have 26 years of stories of people whose lives have been so profoundly affected by loving God, by loving each other in small groups. They've had a chance to love Jesus by loving the Christ and the person across the room from them. That's how we do it best at ACF. And curiously, you love him by being obedient. Again, he says, if you'll love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to do what I say. And you're going to love doing it. Because it's good. Life's in it. So we love Jesus by worshiping him. We love Jesus by loving his people. We love Jesus by being obedient. If you're not in an ACF small group community, I would hope you'll stop at the service you're at right now and talk to your CP or somebody who can connect you or contact us online this week and say, introduce me to small groups, because that's where the game changes. You got to go beyond the level of your Sunday morning to be known and to know. And some of you are going, if they know me, that's going to be a problem. And let me just say to you, you'll fit in perfectly. You'll fit in perfectly. At ACF, we are passionate about knowing, loving. What's the last one? Yeah, you guys like that, don't you? This is one we love to do. At ACF, we're passionate about knowing, loving, and serving Jesus Christ. Serving him is so much fun. I didn't know this initially. This is kind of a late revelation for me at ACF, but I have learned so much about God by serving him and with serving with you. This is one of my favorite verses. I pray this all the time. I hope you'll mark this verse I'm going to show you right now. It is, I don't have time to do it justice, but I'm going to just see if I can tease you with this verse. John 12:26. If you have prayed with me regularly, you've heard me pray this verse. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, I want you to just say this phrase with me in just a minute. The Father will honor him. Okay, let's say that together. The Father will honor him. What? In that culture, servants weren't honored. Servants were property. God is the master who honors his slaves, his servants. Those who choose, because slavery in the kingdom is optional. You choose to, Paul, a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. That's an optional slavery. I choose to chain myself to the Lord Jesus. I will not stray from him. The people who choose to follow Christ will be where he is, he says, and the people who choose to serve him, the Father is going to honor. I don't understand that. I just want it. I don't know what honor, I think I know what honor looks like from God, but whatever it is, wow, he does it when you serve him, and so let's all serve him because I'd love to have that honor, that promotion, that favor in our lives. We need it, and our culture needs it. So, bigger than an attaboy or an attagirl, you get honor when you serve the Father. Okay, you ready? If loving is the fruit of knowing, serving is the fruit of loving. The more you love him, the more you will serve him. The more you discover about God, the more you're going to fall in love with God. The more you fall in love with God, the more you're going to do in his honor. So as you cultivate your awareness of who God is and who Jesus is, it's going to make you want to love him and his people more. And the more you pour into him and love his people more, the more outward trajectory is going to develop in your life. You're going to want to serve. You're going to find yourself thinking about others. So churches, people, congregations, families, individuals who love God, it's just natural to serve him. Show me a family, a congregation, a church, an individual who is head over heels in love with Jesus, and I'll show you someone who is generous and others-centered. Because that's who Jesus was. And if you love him, you're going to be like him. Serving is the fruit of loving him. Okay? It's what flows out of love. A couple of ways you can serve him. Let me start broad and I'll get specific. And by the way, it's curious. We say we know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. Well, Christ is not here. Right, in the flesh. So I can't go up and say, may I take your coat? May I take your hat? May I, here, have a seat. I want to feed you a meal. I can't do that to Jesus. So you know, because church, we talk about this all the time. There are multiple places in Scripture where Christ reveals to us what it means to serve him. Since he's not here, we serve him by serving the least of these. When you've given that cup of water to them, you've given it to me. When you've clothed them, you've clothed me. When you visited them in prison, you visited me in prison because I'm in them. We serve Jesus and we serve each other because he's in his church. So when I have a knee replaced and I'm hurting and Susie's going crazy because I'm grumpy and unhappy and you guys bring by a casserole, you're serving Christ. That simple. When you pray about a missions effort in Syria with Syrian refugees, or you hear about the church exploding in Egypt or in Iran or Iraq right now, and you go, what's going on, China? And you go, I want to write a check to a ministry that's helping get the gospel in there. You're serving, because they're persecuted, you're serving him by doing that. Because that's his people, that's his passion. What you serve in his name is what you are serving him. So there's a couple of ways to serve. One is what I call, you develop a lifestyle of yes. I want you to write that down. Or just put it to, have a lifestyle of yes. Where you lead with yes when opportunities come. Not a lifestyle of let me call you back or a lifestyle of no, but you lead. Your modus operandi, because you love Jesus, is you lead with yes. Now, there are times when there are times you want to say no. And as Jesus did, take your troops and pull back and refuel. That's not bad. But people who love Christ tend to say yes to serving him as a lifestyle. They're just servants. The second way is you develop this others-centered mindset. We talk about other-centeredness all the time at ACF. We really try to grow. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, don't think just of yourself, think of others. And before you think of yourself, think of others, and think of others as more important than you are. It's others-centeredness. At ACF, in your respective community, there's multiple ways to serve. And if you're not connected to a serving opportunity at ACF, you can do so when the service is at your over right is over right now. You can stop and talk again to your CP or to somebody here at Four Points. You can go online. But between guests who greet and our communities load in, load out, can we, I'm going to do this here at Four Points too. Can we all just applaud and cheer our load in, load out guys right now? That what they do is please, all across community. Those guys make church happen. We have had near fatalities in load in, load out, and I was one of them one time. It can be risky, and those guys and those ladies who do that bust their tails for it, and they come early, and church doesn't happen if they don't show up. So thank you, load in, load out guys. Prayer before and after services, during services, worship, music, camp fun, student ministry, parking lot, small groups and small group ministries, the people who make the coffee. You guys know how eternal a cup of coffee is? I'm serious. I heard this said one time at a church conference. I was at a 250-pound man who's new in church and by himself can hide behind a cup of coffee. Or he can hide behind his iPhone. But if he's new and doesn't know anybody, he's staying in the corner waiting for his friends to get here. If he's got a cup of coffee, he's okay. You just made him welcome. That can be the difference between him staying or leaving. Just somebody who makes cups of coffee and has here, sir, have a cup of coffee. Now he doesn't feel completely lost in the room. Isn't that amazing? That can be the difference. The people who hand out the program and say, "We're so glad you're here." The first impression, smile. That kind of stuff matters. And so all of you, I hope every one of you listening to me are connected to a serving opportunity at ACF because we need you. The lights and sound and audio required to make this service happen, the video capture, that requires volunteers. That requires people that can serve. So I hope every one of you listening to me, every community, will, if you're not already in a monthly or more frequently rotation of serving at some part on a weekend, would you please jump into doing that, whether you're serving two-year-olds or changing diapers or discipling a seventh grader or handing out a program. We need your help. We cannot do it without you. And you'll grow and meet people in the process. But even better than that is what we call organic serving. The organic serving is stuff that doesn't happen just on Sunday or Saturday. The organic serving is when you walk across the street and mow your neighbor's lawn because she's a shut-in and can't do much. Or you constantly drop that bag of groceries off at the single mom's house down the street. Or you rally your neighborhood and you drive across town to Community First and Alan Graham and the folks out there and you serve the homeless once a month. Or you're quietly mentoring that teenager whose family's falling apart. That's the serving that is most eternal. It's the kind that doesn't make headlines, it's organic, but it's what changes the world. Some of you can point to somebody in your life who served you without making headlines, wasn't told to because you were on some church role. They just found you and invested in you in some great way. And maybe they brought you a meal, maybe they invited you to church, maybe they mowed your yard or whatever, but they were there when you needed them and it changed your life. That's what serving does. Serving happens because you love Jesus. No, love happens because you are knowing Jesus. Okay, look at this diagram. I want you to see how this works because it's a repeating cycle. You know God through revelation. He shows himself to you through his word, through nature, through something else, through obedience. As you discover more of him, you fall more in love with him. Arrow, shift. As you fall more in love with him, you invest in his people, you invest in him, and you see more about him, and your heart gets tenderized. And as your heart gets tenderized, you inevitably develop his heart for others, and so you become a servant. Because if you fall in love with others, you're going to serve like Jesus did. But curiously, what happens is when you serve, you discover more of him. When you go down to Lakeside on First Street and you serve the special needs people at Lakeside and you see Jesus in their eyes, you learn more about him and you know more of him and you go, oh, my knowledge just increased, which then causes you to love him more, which then causes you to serve him more. Well, you serve him more, and this time you go to Nicaragua or you go serve at Armadillo, or you work out at the Huddle Pregnancy Resource Center, and you look at, you see Jesus in the eyes of a pregnant teenager, and you go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And so you know him more, so you fall more in love with him, which causes you to serve him more, and round and round and round we go. It never ends. You never get to the bottom of it. At Austin Christian Fellowship, we are very passionate about knowing, loving, and serving. Let's go back to these two words. Can you say them with me? Jesus Christ. One more time. Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you serving him? Jesus Christ.